Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Mr. Bahadir Adil. He is the managing director of the Turkish office of Logistics Plus. And for the same company, he is also the global projects director based in Houston, USA. And first and foremost, Bahadir, very welcome to this interview.
Thanks for having me, Bo. It's great to see you. Thanks for having me.
Likewise. As I do with all my interviewees, I always allow them a chance to actually tell our viewers, who they are and how they got into logistics and shipping. So the same I would like to ask from you, Bahadir. How did you get into this business?
Very nice question. Actually, Bo, I was born in Izmir, Turkey, which is one of the biggest hubs, biggest ports in the region. So we, since the childhood, we are all, you know, used to see the container vessels, all the cranes and low beds going around. So, you know, we born into it, let's say. But of course, you know, after the high school, I graduated from business administration. Then I said, okay, I have to have something in logistics. And I have my master degree in Istanbul University.
Okay.
Then, yeah, that's how I got involved in logistics. Then how I in Project Cargo is different. You know, I'm a hyperactive guy. You know, I don't like routine things. So I started with general cargo operations. I was with APL, ABX, and BSV, and then, you know, was at the kitchen of the business. Of course, you know, to be an expert in Project Cargo, you have to stay in the kitchen for a while to learn how the operation goes, you know, LCL, you know, LTL, FTL, all those stuff. And then, then I decide, okay, this is good. Trucks, containers, but it's whatever it is, it's just regular cargo. It's just, even if it's plastic in it or it's a textile in it, it's just same containers, same trucks. I have to do something different. Then I, you know, in DSV, me and my colleagues, you know, Bashar, Mr. Ümit, Mr. Bashar, we established DSV projects in Turkey. That's how I got involved in projects.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that means you have a background with DSV even, which of course is a huge now global Danish company, all right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they keep acquiring companies. We will see. Yeah,
we'll see what happens. Hopefully, yes. Big is not always beautiful, you know.
Of course, yeah, definitely.
So, what you can tell me about Logistics Plus? How is your organization built up at the moment?
Yeah, I can start from the beginning if you like. You know, Logistics Plus established in 1996 in US by our CEO and owner Jim Berlin. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, GE Transport, now known as Wabtec, would like Jim to start a company, you know, ask if they can do US EPC projects on behalf of GE Transport. You know, GE Transport is building locomotives and having railway EPC contracts. It's all started that way. You know, Jim Berlin started the company with a couple of people, like 5-8 people. Then start having GE Transport's projects. Then GE asked for Mexico, Indonesia. This is how it starts and grows.
Right.
Then in 2000 and 2001, they said, okay, then we start also open new offices around the world, having new clients, new projects, and so on. And I established LP Turkey back in 2009. And then right now we have own offices in 22 countries. Okay. With having almost a $500 million revenue, with almost 600 plus employees. And we are a project cargo player. We are a project logistics company with having in-house ship broker, having in-house engineers, you know, doing our own method of statements, shipping, lashing, lifting plans and everything. So yeah, it's very well established in all continents. Project logistics company. Of course, we are also doing general cargo, also offering general cargo services to our clients with our 7 warehouses in the United States and a couple of other warehouses in Europe. There are other divisions to the company too, you know, air freight, warehousing, distribution, 4PL services, and so on.
Okay, so you know, one might say that from a small team of 4 to 5 people, you have certainly grown to be a global player now, and still you have a reasonable size, so you are not so big that you don't know what what each other are doing, you know.
It's great to be flexible, you know, especially nowadays. And LP, Logistics Plus, always grows organically. You know, of course, time to time we acquire small companies in US and in Far East, but we always believe in organic growth. You know, if we start a project in a country, we start with small steps, then grow the organization then after. Yes, you know, depending on the size, yeah, we are, you know, we are not that small, not that big. We're always flexible in all countries. But yeah, we, you know, we are growing fast.
Yeah. Hang on a second. Well, I just have to say, working from home meant my daughter asked whether she could bring a certain toy to a ferry trip she was taking on Sunday. So,
well, absolutely, she can. Yeah.
but I don't mind. The viewers have to see what the real life is all about.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it won't interfere. But listen, Bahadir, one thing which also comes to mind, I guess the competition for guys like GE and so on, there are many who would want to offer them services, even some of the ship owners directly. How do you make sure that you are still, let's say, on the hit list for them, that you are still attractive?
Yeah, as you say, Logistics Plus is a well-known, one of the strongest project logistics player in the market. It's, of course, tough. The competition is tough.
Yeah.
But as far as it's fair, we are all in it. It doesn't matter for us. The problem we have is we have really very good, reliable, well-established competitors. Yeah. You know, I don't want to count the names here, but there are like 5 to 10 players in the market, in the global market, which has in-house engineers, in-house ship brokers, you know, in-house customs brokers, and you know, and well-known everything what they do, right?
Yeah.
But the competition on the other side becomes like a general forwarding competition. You know, give me the price, then that's it. They don't have established staff in-house. They don't know any engineering. They don't know shipbroking. They don't know anything, but you know, they're just buying and selling like doing a general freight forwarding stuff. That's the most toughest part, because on the other side, on the other end of the desk, there should be also well-experienced procurement managers to decide between those companies, because otherwise we just receive the RFQ with other 25 forwarders, yeah. For example, some big tenders, we see also companies which doesn't know anything about project logistics, and that's the toughest part.
Yeah, no, I think one thing I think we both can agree on, everyone knows that the supply chain is totally out of whack at the moment, with ships being overly booked, fully booked. At least shippers around the world, they know what logistics is now. They know what we are doing. And the good thing about, I believe, having spoken to a lot of people, including you now, all these ships being fully booked means that the shipper no longer can shop around and squeeze and push like they used to do. They now can see, we have a good partner here. We better stick with him. We don't shop around so much anymore. Is that correct?
Correct, definitely right, Bo. It's like take it or leave it right now, because they have no time to negotiate. They have no space or equipment to negotiate. Yeah. That's maybe good for logistics at all, as you said, overall, because logistics was, you know, we were in the bottom of the food chain, maybe. I don't know. We were the least, logistics comes always last for most of the clients, unfortunately. Now it's not. You know, they pay attention. They say, okay, while they're selling $500 million worth power plant, we asked for the packing list. And they said, no, there's not a packing list at all. This is a $500 million power plant project. You know that, you know what I mean? You feel it, right? So right now they said, okay, if it's logistics, if it's shipping, if it's trucking, hold on a second. We have to take a good care of this. We have to be careful about it. So that's Definitely a good point.
I think something good will come out of this because you know they have really been used to many years. The ship owners, we also have to admit, they are greedy now. They want to earn all the money they can get. But on the other hand, for 10 or 20 years, we have to admit ourselves as forwarders, speaking for them, that we have had good times. I mean, you could send a 40-foot container cheaper to Shanghai than you could send it to Florida. I mean,
definitely, yeah. You know, shipping has bad times. You know, I just remember 2007, 2008. I was in Istanbul at that time. From Shanghai to Istanbul, it was $400, including the destination THC. So, yeah, of course, wealthy shipping means wealthy business.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But the rates right now is too wealthy. it's too wealthy, and you know Maersk and CMA. You know, I don't want to give names, but all the shipping lines are now announcing the records ever revenue and profit. You know, so having a wealthy shipping line environment is very good.
Yeah.
But this is affecting the importers, and with this rates going up, the demand gonna go slow.
Yeah.
And once the demand gonna go slow, which the economist says second quarter of 2022 gonna be tough, because with the inflation going on, not only Turkey, not only US, inflation is all over. The prices are increasing because of the freight, actually. Not entirely for freight, but maybe let's say 50% of it because of the freights. So with this rates going up, people cannot keep procuring. People cannot keep spending. So with the demand going down, I believe the freight's gonna go down too, beginning of second and third quarter of next year.
Some kind of correction is needed. It's like the pendulum has swung too much to one side. Before it was too much to the left, now it's too much to the right. So we need to find a better way. How do you manage with this? I mean, your main offices are in the States, but you said you are active in 22 countries. How do you manage all of these countries? Do you find it difficult to keep
at the past? At the past it was easier because we were traveling almost like 8 to 10 times a year, almost, let's say, every month or every 2 months. I was traveling our European offices, our Middle East offices, also our offices in Americas. But right now it's tough. Of course, we are trying to get connected on Teams or Zoom, trying to have our meetings online. Yeah. But of course, in each and every country, we have our project cargo managers and project logistics teams that handles everything locally.
Okay.
So we have regional managers, we have country managers, as well as project cargo managers. Of course, you know, I cannot be everywhere. I cannot be in all countries.
No.
But, you know, at the past, we have gatherings every year in our headquarters or in Breakbulk in Europe. We gather all our project managers in one city and discuss about the quarter and future and yearly projects and everything. Right now, it's tough, of course. Because without traveling, it's really tough.
Yeah.
In project logistics, we have to be at the job site. We have to be at the port. It's not like general cargoes. You know, for container, you can track it online. You just don't have to travel with the cargo. But in project logistics, sometimes we have to travel with the cargo. We have to load it. We have to discharge it. So, yeah, it's tough. But, you know... on my side, I'm based in Houston, almost, let's say, 8 months I'm spending in Houston.
Okay.
And the rest 3-4 months I spend in Istanbul, managing our country office there.
But it works. And as I said, when you want to be nice to your wife because you're traveling from time to time, you tell her that you will invite her to a fancy dinner in a container now because it's more expensive than the River Cafe in Brooklyn, right?
Absolutely. That's crazy. Yeah. We don't have kids yet, but, you know, at the very beginning, it was very tough because my wife was also working for a bank in Turkey. She quit. For me, you know, as I have an offer in States, and we were traveling together since 2 years ago, but you know, she has a job in the US right now too. So we, you know, we cannot travel together anymore. So it's tough.
Ah, but that's great. I'm sure things will develop on that front as well.
Absolutely.
The final question I have before wrap up my questions, and then I think you have one for me. But the final question I have, the COVID situation in the States right now, I mean, speaking of Texas, they do pretty much as they please down there, but how is the situation right now, just briefly, in the US regarding COVID and supply chain?
We had a very good third and fourth quarter in States.
All right.
In terms of COVID, okay? Because the vaccination goes very fast. States reached to 55-56% very quick.
Okay.
But once the rates, the COVID counts goes down, people start getting vaccinated.
Right.
So right now it's increasing again with the new wave. They call it Omicron. I believe. Their counts are increasing in New York. And this is how it used to start. Remember, 2 years ago, it's all started in New York and Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, of course, affecting the business, but not like last year or the year before. We are still doing good because, remember, there was port closures, there was customs closures, so it was really tough. But right now, everything is stable, everything is fine. And everything is flowing good. I hope it will not become worse or
definitely not
like last year.
It's been very interesting to hear from you, Bahadir, because we've been in touch many times on email and so on, and to finally have a chance to see you face to face, even online.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure. I think you indicated that you might have a question for me.
Yes,
it's not about all my ex-wives, then I'm ready to answer.
No, it's not personal, but you know, you've been in the market for a long time. And you're always asking the questions. This time I would like to ask you a question because you are also an owner of a freight forward alliance. Your daily meal is dealing with the freight forwarders day and night, 7/24.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to share some concerns and ask you a question about shipping lines involving in freight forwarding itself.
Yes.
And, at the past, there's some accusations that shipping lines are acquiring freight forwarders, which was fine. They told us that they're going to keep it separate. We also see some freight forwarders ended up in shipping, and they said, we're going to keep it separate. That's fine. But last week, what we heard from our colleagues in Latin America, especially in Chile and Argentina, I believe, shipping lines dictating, it's not an advice anymore, dictating that they have to book the containers with them from door to the port. So they would like to have the inland portion of it too. At the past, they were advising it and they said it might be more beneficial for you to book everything with us so we can have your space, we have your equipment, blah, blah. But right now they're like dictating, give us the entire booking from door if you have nothing. This is actually a very serious thing in freight forwarders world. Okay, you can do it maybe in general cargo for 20 foot, 40 foot, because it's container moving anyways. But once it's project logistics, break bulk on container vessels, flat tracks, open tops, this really concerns me, and I really would like to have your opinions and ideas about it.
Yeah. Well, I think you're raising a serious point. I mean, of course, the market has developed a lot. Traditionally, the ship owner was doing the shipping from A to B. The forwarder did the inland and the whole, let's say, door to door, and everybody seemed to be happy. From time to time, there were, of course, hiccups, but it wasn't, let's say, institutionalized like it seems to be for some ship owners now. And of course, the way I see it and what I hear from the networks that I represent and the 240 forwarders that I got in these two networks is that some of the ship owners, without mentioning names, they certainly are very clearly determined to offer freight forwarding services. They either buy freight forwarders to offer the full chain, or they buy inland truckers, or in order to door to door. I think from my standpoint is number one, we need to protect the forwarders, but then the forwarders also need to learn to stand together. That was always the forwarder's biggest problem. The minute we were fighting with each other, the forwarder put a knife in the neighbor's back. They never stood together. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is, of course, there are some ship owners that clearly have voiced out that they won't be doing freight forwarding business. Then we should support them with our might, because there are a lot of forwarders out there who together and in total control a lot of cargo. But it all boils down to having as close a relationship as possible with your customer. It's ultimately the one who sits on the cargo, he decides. So we must make sure as forwarders that we provide such a product that the ship owner cannot compete. But you are right. I've heard the same story you mentioned from Chile, a few other places, India, South Africa, the same. That some local offices of the ship owners are really with the power in hand they have because they are the vessel owner. They sit on you. You can't do anything. So,
correct. My personal opinion here is that this model can be successful and actually has been successful for 40 years right now. So, you know, shipping lines being doing rail. Ramp deliveries, door deliveries since many years. That's fine for general cargo, but for project logistics for project cargo in the long run, they will not be that successful because logistics.
No, Behadi, I agree. I also as a forwarder also think they won't be, but they also have the might and they have a lot of money, especially right now, to do something. But let's hope that one of the projects will fail and then the shipper will say, hey, I shouldn't have given it only to one. I should have had an independent one who can use several owners. So it's something we'll have to take in the next interview. I can hear some kids yelling behind me now.
Thank you, Bo. Thanks for having me, Bo.
So I think before World War III is happening in the living room here beside me, I think I want to say, first of all, last of all, many, many thanks, Behadi, for being here.
That was my pleasure, Bo. Thanks for having me.
And to all the listeners, viewers, and so on around the world, this was yet another great and very relaxed and natural interview with Mr. Behadi Erdil, who is the Managing Director of Logistics Plus in Turkey and also the Global Projects Director for Logistics Plus in the United States, based in Houston. Stay tuned for several more interviews in the near future, and all the best. Thank you.